Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for $40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for in plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1716 72 1818. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.
The Total Spotlight Show. That's Show Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, Neil Haley, and at Periscope, at TotalTutor. Very disappointing night. The Pirates lost. Looks like the Pirates are going to have to face the Cubs and the wild card. Well, we'll see if a miracle happens. But I'm excited to welcome the program author Rob Roselli. Rob, it's Monday night. You know it's time to talk some interesting stuff, and we have a very interesting topic tonight. And, Rob, we have a very interesting topic for tonight. So how are you, Rob?
I'm fine. Neil, how are you?
Awesome. Doing fantastic. Excited to talk to you tonight about things. And it's going to be a very, very interesting show, to say the least, Rob. And when you and you know, I will kind of play a journalist role, which will be difficult tonight, but we're going to break down how the Pope addressed, again, Congress, and the surprises that have happened this entire trip to the United States compared to other popes. Now, what have you seen in your lifetime of seeing how many popes have come to the U.S. and the difference of Pope Francis compared to the others?
Pope Francis?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really see any difference. I mean, you know, as far as the popes, I mean, there have been some that are okay and some that are better and some that are worse. I mean, my opinion, the Catholic theology itself is just awful. It's not Christianity. I mean, you know, people use it synonymously with Christianity, but, you know, as far as popes, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, as most people know and may remember from their history, the Catholic Church's history is one of corruption, murder, genocide, all in the name of so-called Christianity. And I'm talking about the hierarchy. Look, I mean, I understand there's a lot of Catholic missions and missionaries that have done a lot of good work throughout the ages, but again, as far as theology and the overall actions of the upper echelons of Catholicism, it's just awful. And this latest pope, it's hard to say, but I think with the influence he wields, I think he could be the worst ever. I mean, he may come off sounding as a nice guy, and he's all for this and that, but he gets involved with this administration in the United States, which, you know, is maybe in a parallel track from, you know, the worst ever. It's really getting nauseating when he hooks up with this administration in the United States, which he basically did and is doing under the guise of environmentalism, which is an excuse for genocide. I'm come flat out and say it, and that's covered, you know, in the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and which is my book, and we get into that maybe a little bit. But I have to say, I think the guy's horrendous. If he's just the things that he's pushing for and supporting outrightly and passively, I think he sucks, to be quite honest.
Okay. So I'm trying to find the full thing again of the Pope and how he addressed Congress. You could go into specific things. I think where you're seeing the frustration is them coming up with global warming. That's probably your biggest issue you have with him, is global warming. And because you and I know in so many ways it's not been proven at all. And they don't even call it global warming anymore. They call it climate change. So what do you think the reason Pope Francis is addressing things like this? What do you think?
Well, look, I can't speak for the guy's psychology, but, you know, you do have an interesting point. Just to go off on a little bit of a tangent, just to, you know, bring things into perspective, or, you know, yeah, it used to be global cooling, okay? Now then it was global warming. Now it's just climate change. You know, let me tell you, I mean, people may have heard this angle, but the way I see it, the reason it's called climate change is because the morons, crackpots, weirdos, losers, and just outright fraudsters and genocidal maniacs. The reason they call it climate change is because no matter what happens to the climate at this point, they can just attribute it to mankind being evil and being a cancer, to quote the Club of Rome, the United Nations Associated Club of Rome. They can just attribute anything that happens in climate to mankind. So all their bases are covered. So in other words, they've taken the scientific method and they've turned it on its head. So, you know, you make an assumption that mankind is evil, and you build your science around it to support your initial assumption. It's the complete diametric opposition to the scientific method. So now you have this so-called Christian Pope who has the audacity to come to the United States and start preaching about this scam, this climate change, and talking about the Earth as a sister, and talking about the feminine aspects of the Earth, you know, Gaia, and calling our mother and our sister. You know, he exposes himself for the neo-pagan genocidal hack that he is.
See, and that's where the frustration is with lots of Republicans, conservatives, conspiracists against global warming. That changed everyone's opinion on the Pope. It's very, and we're going to talk about, I'm not going to get into a lot of things we did in a show before with infallibility. We've noticed your tweets have really gotten a lot of people, your followers, at Rob Roselli, pretty fired up with the Pope's visit. And it's just because of specific points. But let's hear how he addressed Congress. Let's break it down. I found this again on the Vatican Radio page so we could get the whole breakdown of his talk. Hear any of the stuff that surprises Rob or doesn't surprise Rob? Because I know you didn't read the entire transcripts of his address of Congress. I'm sure you haven't.
I'm not going to bother for the same reason. I don't sit there and watch Fox News or, you know, the news for hours on end. I mean, I get the gist. I mean, I've read excerpts and I've read quotes and I see what the guy says and I've read about what, you know, what the guy has said. And it's just the same recycled Gaia, mother goddess, queen of heaven crap. Okay. You know, queen of heaven. I mean, that's the Virgin Mary, you know, the mother of God. Look, Neil, I mean, I don't know what to say here. I mean, this is just Egyptian and Babylonian, Roman, Grecian paganism.
But and Rob, we had this argument before on the show, and then we're going to just discuss this in so many ways. But the argument we had is that the first Christian church was the Catholic Church. Yes, there was corruption, but let's look at the Lutheran Church. There was a tremendous amount of corruption in the Lutheran Church. Let's look at other Christian groups at different times. I understand that at times with the indulgences and everything, but the first church was the Catholic Church. And specific teachings, everyone decided to leave that church. But let's go right to particularly his talk, because he really doesn't speak like all the other popes, in my opinion. As a journalist, I'm giving you this opinion, not as a Catholic. All right, so it said, dear friends, this is what I am grateful for your invitation to address this joint session of Congress in the land of the free, the home, and the brave. I'd like to think that this reason for this is that I am a son of this great continent for which we all receive so much, toward which we share a common responsibility. So right off the bat, Rob, is that what has happened with papacy of Pope Benedict and also now the papacy of Pope Francis, they're pushing for more of a union, a world union. And you've been telling people to watch out for this, uniting the entire world together as one and eliminating some of the patriotism of one country versus another, right?
That's exactly correct. Look, I mean, you know, again, the name of my second book is The Un-American Genocidal Complex, okay? You know, and the way I spell it, you know, UN is the United Nations, okay, and the American, of course, and that's not my America, okay. This is Obama's America. This is the radical environmentalist America. This is these liars, these elitists, you know, both Republicans and Democrats. I'm not one of these, you know, neocons. These are these liars that have overtaken this country with their endless wars and their hypocrisy and now this so-called crusade, you know, to save Mother Earth and global warming. Okay, and the Pope is just, he's just inserted himself right in the middle of the un-American genocidal complex by joining at the hip with the Washington, D.C., New York City, Rome, not now Rome, axis of evil. And it's just that simple. And the Pope, the so-called Pope, is the face of it. And let me just say this as an aside, this is an example. I mean, I came across a, you know, an article and a video today of an Italian news correspondent, you know, who disguised himself as a Syrian, you know, refugee, trying, you know, going all over Rome to different churches in the Vatican and begging for help. And, you know, and of course, you know, the Vatican itself, you know, they won't take any migrants or, you know, none of these so-called Christian priests over in Rome would take this guy in, just to expose the hypocrisy for this guy to come here and start telling the United States that we need to take more migrants and spread the wealth and all the socialism slash American progressive type of philosophy, you know, while he himself sits over, you know, high and dry over in the Vatican on billions of dollars of Vatican gold stolen from enforcement, thug-like enforcement of the church's brand of Christianity, you know, which again, you know, not making, you know, we don't want to go on too many theological tangents here, but which is his own version of thuggery and, you know, Christianity at knife point and gunpoint, which is the exact opposite of you know, when you read the Gospels. It's beyond words, in my opinion, you know, this the audacity of this guy.
Right. I mean, and I think that, and this is where I'm very confused in the fact that maybe he's just trying to please the majority of people in this situation, meaning the president, specific things. I don't know. I mean, the global warming thing shocks me beyond belief. But this one here with immigration, that's not surprising. He's an immigrant. So he's taking a lot of his experience, and that's what the Catholic Church says. So let's, so it says, each son and daughter of a given country has a mission, a personal and social responsibility. Your own responsibility as members of Congress to enable this country by your legislative activity to grow its nation. You are a face of its people, their representatives. You're called to defend, preserve the dignity of your fellow citizens in a tireless, demanding pursuit of common good. For this is the chief aim of all politics. A political society endures when it seeks as a vocation to satisfy common needs by stimulating the growth of all its members, especially those in situations greater vulnerability or risk. Legislative activity is always based on care for people. Now, see, here's what's happening. Francis comes from Brazil, and that I wouldn't call a democracy, Rob. In a lot of ways, he feels the government is going to take care of the people. He hasn't done his research to see that they haven't been able to do that. So we get back, we're going to continue to talk about Pope Francis' address here, Rob's take on it, especially, again, at Rob Roselli or boxofsunglasses.com. Again, I'm towing the line tonight, but I'll bring some certain things to the Catholic Church throughout this broadcast. But we're addressing the Pope and hearing what people like Rob think, which in a lot of ways is a conversation the U.S. Catholic bishops have to have. If this is the direction we're going, in a different direction, is the church moving to the center? You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus. And I'm with Rob Roselli at Rob Roselli or at boxofsunglasses.com to purchase his book right now. He is the conspiracist, but also somebody that is bringing up the specific truths of the Pope's visit. The Pope did a lot of great things for the poor and different things, but a lot of his agenda is political in context. And as a Catholic, at times I might scratch my head, but I'm not going to come out here like Sean Hannity or any of these other people. I'm going to present the information and let Rob tear into it in so many ways. But Rob, that's the problem. You look at Pope Benedict coming from Germany. You look at, again, John Paul II coming from Poland. But Benedict and John Paul II, Rob, were able to see what communism and socialism had caused their countries and how they lost freedom. Francis hasn't dealt with that, right, Rob?
Francis is what?
No, Benedict's growing up dealt with tyranny as he saw Nazi Germany take power, and also Poland lost power with Germany as well under John Paul II when he was a kid. Francis
sure.
has not been able to see the tyranny that it has happened from socialism to communism to dictatorship all in one, as they saw specifically the church being torn down to nothingness in their time. So that might be the reason why we're hearing Francis with a different government involvement.
Let me say this. I know a lot of people, I'm probably not making a lot of friends right now.
On your page, you made a lot of friends. Your Twitter, they love you, Bob. You know that, right? Okay, all right.
But I'm just saying, you know, people just need to hear this, okay? I'm not saying, again, you know, the Catholic charities, you know, and missionaries, they've done, you know, throughout the ages, you know, it's not all negative. What I'm focused on is the upper echelons of the Roman Catholic Church, okay? You know, in the aggregate, if you step back and look, you know, lack of freedoms, communism, socialism. I mean, look, the Catholic Church, for its first 1,000 years or so of existence, had its own brand of communism and thuggery, and you know they didn't publish the Bible, they wouldn't allow it to be read. I mean, you know, John Wycliffe and William Tyndale. I mean, William Tyndale was a Protestant, and he was a protesting Catholic. I don't know if he was necessarily a Protestant, but the guy was a biblical Christian at the time. I mean, he was burned at the stake for making the Bible available to the common person, okay? And if you read the New Testament especially, it becomes obvious, i.e. the New Testament printed, okay? Because in it, you read things like Colossians chapter 2 and James chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and Romans 2, where, you know, God is not a respecter of persons, and you're not to regard anybody higher than anybody. You know, everybody is equal in God's eyes, and all these other things. And then you contrast that with the Catholic hierarchy, and you say, well, wait a second, you know, why do we need a pope? Why do we need a mediator? This human being, this fallible human being, and we're all fallible. Okay, all sin that comes short of the glory of God. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm infallible. Okay, everybody is fallible. King David, the Apostle Paul himself. You know, everybody's fallible. You know, even Peter, okay, the so-called first pope, so-called. I mean, that to me, I mean, you want to talk about, of the many lies and just outright ridiculous claims of the Catholic Church, to call Peter the first pope.
That made a debate.
Come on. That's
Rob, but there was only one real church until the Protestant Reformation. There wasn't. There was only one Christian church.
Come on. I mean, you know, look at the books of Acts. I mean, at Acts chapter 10, okay, you know, the Roman centurion Cornelius, okay, he invites Peter into his home. He's one of the first Gentile converts, besides the most famous Gentile convert, that being the Apostle Paul. Peter comes into his house, and Cornelius goes down and tries to worship Peter, okay, the so-called first pope. And the first thing Peter says to him, it says, don't worship me. I'm a man just like you. So in other words, he was he was following the tenets of the New Testament as the New Testament was being written. Okay, so then now you get this Pope, and not just this Pope, but Popes in general, walking around this earth, okay, as if they're calling themselves the vicar of Christ and all this pomp and circumstance and all this crap. Okay, that's in direct contradiction to
the aren't pretty much any of the Christian churches have a leader like that. It's just that this church is larger, Rob. You know, evangelical groups and Protestant groups, they all have their leaders. Lutheran groups have their own hierarchy as well. It's leadership, Rob.
Am I saying they're correct? They're not.
No,
exactly.
I'm just bringing up all these other Christianities. So you're saying the organized religion in itself.
That's not Christian.
You define as Christian for our listeners out there.
Look, you can call yourself whatever you want. That's fine. I mean, Al Capone can call himself a philanthropist. I mean, that's great. But I'm not going to sit here. I mean, look, we have an hour show, right? I'm not going to sit here and say, all right, well, the Lutherans are Christians and all this. No, they're not. They all ultimately are in violation of so much scripture. It's not even funny. And particularly those chapters and verses that I mentioned. Okay, you know, again, it's Romans chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Colossians 2, James chapter 2. Just read about what the church is and how people are really supposed to act. And it's just, it's modesty and equality with your favorite human beings, okay? It's communism without people being forced into it at gunpoint, like the communists, socialists, Nazis, and then in the terms of the Catholic Church at knife point and the end of a spear, because they didn't have guns yet. Well, you know, when the Catholic Church was undertaking such activities, that's just the way it is. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You go back to Matthew 23, okay, and he's absolutely just blasting, the Jewish priests, okay, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, and the scribes, and he's calling them hypocrites, and how can you escape the damnation of hell? But what does he proceed all that with? He says, call. No one on earth is to be called rabbi or father, okay? So he comes out. If people read Matthew 23, okay, that's before the famous Olivet Discourse, which is Matthew 24, right, which a lot of people are focused on, end times prophecy and all this sort of thing. But if you go back one chapter, in Matthew chapter 3, okay, I remember, this is God in the flesh, okay, the most merciful, the only perfect person in human history. And you read what he has to say about the hierarchy, which represents all religious hierarchy. He's not singling out the Catholic Church. You read what it says, and people will see, and again, don't take my word for it. I'm giving out chapters and verses here. People will read on their own.
The Catholic
Church should not exist. It just should not exist.
Okay, so in your way, in your thought process, then all organized religion should not exist.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, look, I'm not saying people don't get together and have Bible study and this sort of thing, but no, these so-called Christian churches, if you take the proper interpretation of Scripture, which is straightforward, then no. I mean, look, in colonial America, you had small, denominations, nothing's perfect, okay, but basically, a small, modest church with maybe a minister or something like that, but who's respected, who's to say, but certainly not this hierarchy.
So, and that's interesting.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm singling out the Catholic Church. It is the so-called, it is the largest so-called Christian church in the world.
But not in the United States. The United States, there
are other churches. All these other denominations, they're just offshoots and mini versions
of the Catholic Church. Right.
The Catholic Church. So I'm not saying that they're right. I mean, you're asking about the Catholic Church, to answer your question. I mean, you're kind of making my argument for me. Yeah, you're right. The precedent set in Scripture, no, they should not exist. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, the most modest.
Right, and then we can talk about humility, and this is, again, where you're getting your knowledge and background and stuff like that. But that's for another conversation. Let's go back to what people are interested in hearing, your opinion and your commentary on how the Pope addressed this. And first of all, who talked about global warming, but this is, again, where he said each son and daughter, so he's talking about him being a son of an immigrant and his immigration and how he's trying to say the great. So next he says, yours is a work which makes me reflect in two ways on the figure of Moses. On one hand, the patriarch and lawgiver, the people of Israel, symbolize the people, the need of peoples to keep alive their sense of unity by means of just legislation. On the other, the figure of Moses leads us directly to God, thus to transcendent dignity of the human being. Moses provides us with a good synthesis of your work. You're asked to protect by the means, by law, the image and likeness fashioned by God on every human face. Today, I would like not only to address you, but through you, entire people of the United States, together with the representatives, I'd like to take this opportunity to dialogue with many thousands of men and women who strive day to day, honest day's work, to bring home their daily bread, to save money and one step at a time, to build a better life for their family. These are men and women who do not concern simply with paying their taxes, but they are, in their own quiet ways, sustain the life of society. Okay, so basically talking about the importance of a hard day's work and really speaking to the middle class right here, Rob, would you agree?
Yeah, look, but again, you know, this is, you know, he's not coming out right and saying it, and I'll say it. I mean, this is a serpent, okay? You know, yeah, God said you shall not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't come outright. It was truth mixed with lies, okay? And that's the precedent here. It's truth mixed with lies, and it's the way of the serpent, okay? Ultimately, Matthew chapter 4, I mean, Satan has control of this earth, and ultimately, you know, people like me are going to go by the wayside, and, you know, and the majority of people, unfortunately, are going to fall for this line of crap that institutions like the Catholic Church are putting out, the hypocrisy and all this other nonsense. You know, taking good-sounding objectives, okay, you know, who doesn't want equality and social justice, and who doesn't want a clean environment? But packaging it under the guise of the United Nations, okay?
It's not going to work.
The Rockefeller founded United Nations, okay? The genocidal maniacs, kooks, crackpots, freaks, and weirdos, tin pot dictator thugs, the Saudis, you know, now head of the Human Rights Council, he's joining at the hip with those people, okay? You know, the whole thing is it's a sewer. Okay, you know, he's applying some nice smelling incense to human sewage. Okay, which is the United Nations, and I'll just say it like that. But modern day environmentalism, when you start hearing the key words, okay, sustainable development, Gaia, you know, our Earth Mother. Okay, this is nothing but repackaged. Again, it's nothing but repackaged Babylonian paganism, which of course spread to Egypt. Okay, from Egypt to Greece, from Greece to Rome, and from Rome right to the Catholic Church. Okay,
I'd love to get more of the history, but again, our listeners really want to hear specifically what's happening today and what Rob's interpretation. We get back. I'd love to have the conversation more in this organized religion text, because the honest to God truth is we can take. There's some holes in that argument, but really the thought process today is how this pope's different than a lot of other popes. And how people like Rob, there are a lot of people out there that are disappointed. And we'll continue to have the conversation. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. Google Plus, Neil Haley. And at Periscope, at TotalTutor. And with Rob Roselli. And Rob, again, you can purchase his book at boxofsunglasses.com. His fan base continues to grow each and every day. You got to follow him at Rob Roselli to see all the great tweets, all the links, all the different interviews and everything, or go to Box of Sunglasses right now, buy the book. Because honestly, there are points to this argument, but Rob has seen specific politics and conspiracy in play. And the Catholic Church, as Rob's chosen the Catholic Church, a lot of other churches as well, are organized religion, and Rob does not see that organized religion should be based on a few scripture verses. But let's continue this Congress discussion. My visit takes place at a time when men and women of good and will are marking the anniversaries of several great Americans. the complexities of history and the reality of human weakness, notwithstanding these men and women for their many differences and limitations, were able to hard work and sacrifice, some at the cost of their lives, to build a better future. They shape fundamental values which will endure forever in the spirit of the American people. A people with a spirit can live through many crises, tensions, and conflicts, while always finding the resources to move forward and to do so with dignity. These men and women offer us a way of seeing and interpreting reality. In honoring their memory, we are inspired even amid conflicts and in here and the now each day, draw upon our deepest cultural reserves. So, who do you think he's talking about, Rob? Well, I guess it's going to be soon. We're going to find out about these Americans. It's Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merck. But who else do you think he's speaking of, Rob?
Well, look, who knows? You know, again, this is he's mixing in, you know, subjects that anybody would agree with. Okay, but he's mixing in a serpent-like fashion with the big lie of radical environmentalism and equality, you know, with the barrel of a gun, which is communism / socialism, and in this country, progressivism, and, you know, we've gone through that. He repackages it and makes it sound so good, and since he's this, you know, great Christian and the vicar of Christ, people just buy it lock, stock, and barrel because he's Christ's representative on earth, which, again, as we've just discussed, is in violation of so much scripture, it's almost impossible to figure out where to begin. So when he starts saying, you know, stuff like that, I don't know what else to say. Okay, now in that speech, you know, and I've read excerpts of his speech in other places, and he's talking about Islam and, you know, and Allah, and he's speaking, you know, to Muslims as if they're Christians and all this other sort of thing, and all the social justice. I mean, I did not hear him once. I did not come across anywhere. Okay, he's so concerned about all this social justice, where Christians, legitimate Christians all over the world, true Christians, like I said, are being literally burned to death, bludgeoned, to death, chopped apart with machetes, and, you know, in all various countries throughout Africa, over in China, and various places like this. And I subscribe to an organization called the Voice of the Martyrs. Okay, and people can Google that. And I have no association with them. I contribute to them, and I'm not, you know, just no, that's, but if you want to read what a true Christian is, okay, that, those are the people that, you know, that I look up to. Those are the people I see, convert to Islam, or we're going to chop your head off, or convert to Islam, or we're going to take your wife and your child, or we're going to douse you in gasoline and light you on fire. Okay, this is going on in today's world, okay? Now, this guy, this jackass, this so-called Christian, he comes here, you know, denigrating the United States and saying we all have to jump up and down and worship Gaia, which is nothing but the, you know, Queen of Heaven of the Old Testament, you know, the whore of Babylon, and not mention one word about the real Christians in this world. To me, is beyond disgraceful. And that, and underneath all the pomp and circumstances and the Madison Avenue image, Fox News, wall-to-wall coverage crap. Okay, underneath that are true Christians being with those various tortures I mentioned. Okay, and he does not even allude to them. Okay,
right.
This is what irritates so many people. Okay, but again, it's the vicar of Christ, and it's the Pope, and all this. This guy better get down on his hands and knees and beg for forgiveness. A lot more, and him along with the whole Catholic hierarchy better get down on their knees and beg for forgiveness, and they better do it sooner rather than later. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to respond. I mean, that's my response. I mean, what this guy says, and I did read at one point he called Dr. Jesus's crucifixion. He said that Jesus's life ended in failure. Okay, so he's taken the fundamental aspect of the New Testament. That is the redemption. I mean, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Okay, you know, the Lamb, you know, the sacrifice in the Old Testament,
right,
the Lamb,
right.
The symbolism, you know, the symbolism in the Old Testament, the Lamb was sacrificed.
Well, exactly, yeah.
And all that. But for him to sit here and say that, and then come and also say, you know, Allah is the same God as the God of the Old and the New Testament. I mean, come on. But again, we're getting into theological arguments, and today's Madison Avenue, American Idol, feel good, sustainable development world, that kind of thing doesn't wash.
And that's the thing. And see, this is the difference of right now, as I said, this Pope, who's a Jesuit, compared to other popes that have been around, that have gone through this infiltration of government to the point where we lose our lives completely. And this is where the dialogue has to be developed and different things and why his belief system is what it is in a specific way. But I think it's to try to bring everyone together, to end capitalism altogether, and for us to be this perfect melting pot where we all share and share alike, Rob, and that's a dream of his. And so let's go to the four people he talks about. You mentioned Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, and Thomas Merton. This year marks the 150th anniversary of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. The guardian of liberty labored tirelessly to this nation under God, have a new birth freedom. Building a future of freedom requires love of common good and cooperation in a spirit of solidarity. All of us quite aware and deeply worried by the disturbing social and political situation in the world today. Our world is increasingly violent conflict. Here's my point, Rob. Why are we talking about the world when he's addressing Congress? That's not the UN. He's addressing Congress. Do we really, as a Congress, have the chance to really control the world in the way that he's bringing up, that we should be offended by?
Well, look, well, again, you know, and that's a, you know, let me think about it for a second. I mean, that's a big nut to digest, but let me give it a shot, okay? The reason, to answer your question, okay, well, what they're doing, again, and what the un-American genocidal complex is doing, again, the New York, D.C., London, Rome axis of evil is doing it. They're setting up the world for their attempt at one world government. Okay, that's why he's addressing Congress. Okay, that's his purpose. And again, and what I've been warning about on my website and again in the book and in all the links, everything I say, let me just back up a quick second. Everything I say is documented. The there's footnotes, there's a bibliography is on my website. And in an hour-long show, we only have so many minutes to go into all these things. But anyway, I speak in broad brushes on this show. But anyway, to answer your question again, it's because they're setting up a one-world government under the guise of environmentalism. Okay, this is via radical environmentalism, of which this Pope has now just formally inserted himself, and the so-called Christian Catholic Church, okay, is the umbrella, it is the cover for one world government, okay, this whole climate change scam. And again, look, I'm not against, legitimate environmental laws and protecting the environment. And believe it or not, I even support the concept of the EPA and Environmental Protection Agency. Has it gone off the rails? Absolutely. But, you know, the concept of it is, I believe, a legitimate one. So I'm not against the environment or protecting the environment. But what these people are doing is they're using the environment as a vehicle or an excuse to establish one world government. So when you hear words, again, like sustainable development, protecting our mother, okay, Gaia, okay, which is nothing but the whore goddess Isis or the Queen of Heaven from the Old Testament, and getting in front of Congress and addressing them and, you know, sustainability and our common future and all that. These are code words and buzzwords in a serpent-like fashion for top-down technocratic control of the world. To save the world, okay, and go into it a little bit deeper, okay, the Gaia hypothesis put out by this maniac over in England called James Lovelock, okay, which says that, you know, the Earth is a living, breathing organism that can't support more than 1 billion people, and, you know, the current population of the world is 7 billion people, okay, so when I call these people genocidal maniacs, mass murderers of the worst order, okay, the ones that gave Hitler his marching orders, who funded Hitler, who raised Hitler, okay? Now you get this union of the social Darwinists and the environmentalists, and it's all coming to a head, okay? And this is the point of my website, and again, the point of the second book, it's all covered there. So this is what's going on in front of our eyes, okay? But the Americans, you know, they watch the Fox News, the CNN, and all these accolades and these people fawning over this guy, and they fall for it. It's just the way it is. But that's what's happening. Okay, the United Nations was never intended to bring world peace. I mean, look at it. It's a joke. Okay, and unfortunately, and I'm not happy about this. I mean, I don't get excited about this stuff. But unfortunately, things are unfolding exactly the way I pointed out. You know, on my website, I have a link called Mystery Babylon USA, and things are unfolding exactly according to the breakdown, the line-by-line breakdown I've made of those two chapters out of the Book of Revelation. Okay, and people have been listening to Hal Lindsey and John Hagee and all these other jokers for so long, and you know Jews are God's chosen people, and they have to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, then somebody has to come in and desecrate it. It's all Cartoon Network crap. Okay, what's happening right now, and according, you know, with the Pope and his links with the, you know, again with the D.C., London, New York, Rome axis of evil, is reality. Okay, that's how the one world government's going to happen, and it's not going to be pretty. It's in fact, it's going to happen. You're going to have an economic collapse, which you're on the brink of. You're going to have a brief world peace, okay, a peace agreement. He's already, the Pope's already setting that up, okay? He's already, you know, making peace with his Muslim brothers and, you know, and all these other people. And the Russians and the Chinese, of course, everybody's going to jump in on it, but it's going to be a deceit from beginning to end, and it's going to happen very quickly. So what I'm warning people is this is the run up, okay? This is the opening act in what's about to happen, and again, it's not pretty. And I wish we didn't have to have this conversation, but that's my take. You know, so to sit here and, you know, and comment on individual lines, I mean, look, you know, enough people have done that, and people can read it for themselves. But I've hit on the high points. I've read enough of his speeches and enough excerpts, and just knowing the history of the Catholic Church, to know, okay, this is where the guy's coming from. And again, it's not just what he said, okay? It's what he did not say. And again, the torture, the murder of tens of thousands of Christians worldwide doesn't even get a mention from this guy. I mean, come on. That's as bad as this, you know, him leaving the Vatican, you know, with its walls and security and, you know, and Vatican guard not letting one migrant in, and coming into this country to preach to us about letting in all kinds of migrants. Well, he sits on billions of dollars that they stole from the poor peasants in Europe, you know, selling indulgences and telling them they contribute to the Catholic Church or they're going to burn in hell forever, you know, while banning the Bible. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
So when we get back, Rob, we're going to continue with more of the conversation about the Pope's address, get more of your commentary. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network and TotalTutor.net. For more information, Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and on Periscope at TotalTutor. And I'm with Rob Roselli, and it's his show on Monday nights. We talk about different things, and the Pope brought up the Pope's visit, especially how he addressed Congress. And we're breaking it down as Rob is bringing a lot of the conspiracy of organized religion into play. And he was going after the Catholic Church. So I said, hey, you know, it might be more than that. So we're kind of doing this. Okay, so next. All of us are quite aware and deeply worried about the disturbing social and political situation in the world today. Our world is increasingly a violent conflict, hatred, and brutal atrocities committed even in the name of industry of God and of religion. We know that religion is immune from it. Forms of individual illusion or ideological extremism. This means that we must be especially attentive to every type of fundamentalism, whether religious or any kind. A delicate balance is required to combat violence perpetuated, safeguarding religious freedom, selecting freedom and individual freedoms. But there's another temptation we must especially guard against. The simplistic reductionism, which sees only good for or evil, or if you will, the righteous and the sinners. The contemporary world, which has opened wounds which affect so many of our brothers and sisters, demands that we confront every form of polarization which would divide it into these two camps. We know in the attempt to be freed of the enemy without, we cannot be tempted to feed the enemy within. To imitate the hatred and violence of tyrants and the murderers is the best way to take their place. This is something which you, as people, must reject. Rob, you understand this one, though?
I'm never going to win this argument. I mean, mass of people will, you know, again, it sounds good. You know, yea, have God said, you know, you should not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the same, principle. Okay, who can disagree with that on the surface? Okay, it's all like, you know, it's like sitting there and, you know, reading Peter Pan or Robin Hood, you know, when you're 6 years old. Oh, that sounds great. You know, take from the people that have a lot, give to the people that don't have it. It all sounds good. But then how do you put that into action? You know, I mean, how do you implement that, you know, with humanity? Okay, the question is, the answer is there's two ways. Okay, you can do it the way this country tried to do it at the founding, okay, under King Jesus, okay, to quote, you know, the Committee to Correspondence, you know, and rights, and inalienable rights, you know, granted by the Creator, okay? You can do your best attempt to do it in reality and make it happen in reality. And the only way to do it as a biblical believing Christian is to found everything on the Christian Bible, which, again, this nation tried to do, or you can be the so-called Christian Pope, and you know, and fly around in your private jet and sit in the Vatican on your billions of gold and go out there and preach the rest of the world to do it, or you could have equality, okay, animal form or Orwellian equality, okay, but somebody needs to administer that equality, okay? Remember last week, you know, he said, you know, people are going to be ruled by the Bible or the bayonet. Okay, this country tried to rule with the Bible, okay, but of course the American progressives and liberals and godless atheists and communists, you know, funded by the taxpayer, you know, the tax-exempt foundations, okay, the Rockefeller, Carnegie tax-exempt foundations, the same people behind the United Nations, okay, and now you got the Pope joining with that crowd. Yeah, it all sounds great, but then what's the reality? Okay, the reality is to have social justice and equality, somebody has to administer the equality, okay? It's either the Creator in the terms of the Declaration of Independence, or it's Barack Obama or Mao or Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. Okay, everybody's equal, but some are more equal than others. Okay, so as soon as you go a little bit beneath the surface and get into the reality of trying to implement those, you know, six-year-old Robin Hood, Peter Pan utopian dreams, then reality smacks you in the face. And again, it's just a pile of crap. It's just raw sewage being spewed from a guy who claims to be the vicar of Christ, who in my estimation is in a hell of a lot more trouble, pun intended, than the rest of us sinful and sinful humanity out here in the masses. You know, I don't know what else to say.
Right, exactly. And what you're saying is what a lot of people are saying. They have the same beliefs as yours. Challenging facing us today is called for a renewal of the spirit of cooperation, which has accomplished so much throughout the history of the United States. The complexity, the gravity, and the urgency of these challenges demand that our pool of resources and talents and resolve support one another with respect and differences. That sounds fine. In this land, the various religious denominations have greatly contributed to building and strengthening society. It's important that today, as in the past, the voice of faith continue to be heard. For its voice of eternity and love, which tries to bring out the best in each person and each society. Such cooperation is a powerful resource in the battle to eliminate new global forms of slavery, born of grave injustice, which can be overcome only through new policies and new forms of social consciousness. Again, Robbie believes that the government can fix this.
It's a joke, okay? Again, it's American progressivism at its best, okay? The Bible, the bayonet, okay? The Bible's out the window, okay? You know, that stupid God and those stupid Christians with their Old Testament and their non-scientific approach. I mean, then we have Darwinism now. We have Darwin. We have evolution. You know, God doesn't exist. So now the government becomes God. So there you go. And this is the camp that he jumped in. I mean, you know, he does just enough camouflage of his so-called Christianity to pull it off, and a lot of suckers buy into it. But again, you know, it just goes back to my overall point. I mean, he's part of the world. It's a fallen world. It's a sinful world, and he's trying to make it into something that it's not, and nor can it ever be. Okay, if you're a true Bible-believing Christian. Okay, ultimately, you know, and look, you know, we only have a few minutes here, we have time to get into it, but ultimately, look, again, Satan has been given authority to rule this world, okay? Matthew chapter 4, if you go into John 19, okay, Jesus is talking to Pontius Pilate, you know, again, he's put up for crucifixion by this, you know, the so-called religious leaders, which represent all organized religion, by the way, in history, the Jewish, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees of Israel. Okay, but he says, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my followers would fight, but my kingdom is not of this world. Okay, so for the Pope to, you know, to get in here and try to create this socialist, American progressive-like utopia, it's so evil, okay, from a biblical standpoint. Now, he's not coming outright, and he's not going to do the genocide, okay? He's not going to be responsible for the food riots that are coming and a disease and the mass murder of people. But he'll be the face of it, okay? Just like Hitler didn't, he didn't carry out, you know, Hitler was the image of it. He was the face of it, okay? But he's in here, he's here supporting it, okay? Again, the United Nations, okay, is a disgrace, okay? And for him to join at the hip with those people, I mean, you know, what do you want me to say?
That's your opinion, Rob. But from flip off when we've been reading, but have you noticed so far when we read, there's nothing that really knocks it about how he wants to serve and help others through this process so far we've read.
Look, you can say it's my opinion again, and I'm telling people, I mean, so ultimately something has to be true, okay? If you want to believe that the Pope is true and that's your reality, then that's fine. I can't force it upon you. But if you read people, they read those chapters and verses in the New Testament, they'll read it for themselves. And look, when people say, well, the New Testament itself is corrupt, you know, who's to say that it's true? So, look, you know, again, we can sit here for hours on end and have theological arguments and debates, but what I'm saying is it's not my opinion. Okay, Matthew 23, you know, call no one on earth father, Romans chapter 2, you know, God is not a respecter of persons, or, you know, Colossians chapter 2, you know, quit paying attention to, you know, sign, you know, moons and elevating people, religious people to, you know, up in the hierarchy. And again, that's reflected in James chapter 2. That's not my opinion. That's just a plain reading of the biblical text. Okay, now you can choose to say, well, the Bible, that's not really the word of God, whatever, and that's fine. And then go out and believe what you will. I mean, go out and believe that, you know, that the biggest threat to mankind right now is carbon dioxide. You know, it's people. So, you know, that's your reality, and then fine. I mean, but, you know, again, ultimately, something has to be true in this world, or it's an anarchist world, which it is, which explains why so many communists and godless, you know, government types and, you know, William Ayers and Obama and his buddies are basically anarchists, the French Revolution and this sort of thing. And he's just feeding into that, you know, in his subtle way, but he is feeding into that.
I mean, and if you're talking about specifically enough the whole fact of the what's happening in general, yeah, I mean, but, Rob, I mean, some of the holes of your thought process, I agree with you that sometimes we're not presenting the best material to them. And then I also agree with the fact that you said that what the Pope said. Now, the Pope could be taken out of context, Rob, is what we've been reading today, compared to what the mainstream media chooses from reading. Isn't that correct?
Look, you know, again, I've read his, you know, excerpts of his speech, you know, I and you know what you're saying, and I get the gist of what he was saying. That, you know, I read the entire guy's script, no, because the whole Catholic Church is inherently incorrect and evil, as I've stated. Okay, but it's just, you know, again, you know, we keep going back to the same point. It's just the whole hierarchy of the Catholic Church is just, you know, religious. The theology is just wrong. Okay, if basing it on the New Testament. Again, if you want to believe that, you know, the guy on earth, a vicar of Christ, if that's your thing, then fine. I can't force you to believe. But again, and remember what I said before, too, it's not just what he said. It's what he did not say, okay? The truest, the real Christians in this world, John chapter 16, you know, in this world you shall have great tribulation, but, you know, and those that kill you will think they're doing God's work, okay? But, you know, be comforted, you know, in the world you have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Okay, the Pope is part of the world. He's making himself part of the world. But again, it's what he did not say. Now, for him not to mention what's going on Christian persecutions worldwide. Now, those are
That's surprising, but he, again, has his bishops speaking out across the country. All right, Rob, where's the best place for you to find information and find out more about it? We can kind of more of a conversation on the Catholic Church next week, but we'll close the whole thing with Pope's address to Congress. Where can we find information on you and purchase your book, Rob?
Again, it's boxupsunglasses.com. It's one word, and the book's available on the homepage. I mean, there's a PDF version, and there's an Amazon link, and I'll upgrade the Amazon link, but you can get it through Amazon, Kindle, et cetera. It's available right there, and that's my really – the books are my only source of income. Okay, there's no pop-up ads. There's no advertising on my site. And, other than that, it's just pure information. That people are free to go in there and browse and read at their own leisure. And again, I realize I'm speaking in broad brushes here, but it's an hour-long show. It's we can't – we don't have the time.
Exactly. So boxofsunglasses.com. And what is your thought on, again, being in the Twitter sphere for about 6 months to 7 months and seeing the different people you've been able to interact on there that have a lot of the same ideals and principles as you do?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of people on there, we've talked, and let me just disclose. I mean, I put out the tweets, and you're helping me out with the Twitter and retweeting a lot of my stuff and advertising, and it's just so I disclose that to people, and they know. But but a lot of the tweets are me and what I'm putting out there. But anyway, I guess I'm not big into the. I'm not big into computers in general, and that's a whole other story. But, yeah, it is picking up. To answer your question, it is picking up, and I appreciate people that are following and supporting, and I try to respond to as many people as I can. And, again, ultimately, on the site, what this all boils down to, I have God's Simple Salvation Plan posted on my site. Also, there's a link right on my, throughout the site. And if you read that, it really is, when it all boils down to it, it really is simple. Where two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. Like the Sermon on the Mount, it doesn't say, go to the Catholic Church because that's the only place I'm hanging out. It's the voice of martyrs, those types of people. Those are the true Christians, and those are the people that we just can't have enough respect for those people.
Right.
I'll just conclude with that. I mean, to sit here and with this guy, from the safety of the Vatican and the hypocrisy to come here and preach to us, I think I kind of makes me want to regurgitate.
All right. All right, well, perfect, Rob. Next week, another topic, another interesting thing. We'll kind of address some of the tweets. Everyone needs to check you at robrocelli.com. At boxofsunglasses.com or at Rob Rocelli on Twitter. So take care, Rob.
I know. I appreciate it. God bless.
All right. That was, again, Rob Rocelli. That was the Total Spotlight Show. Great show, guys, and we're going to talk again next week, Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Take care, everyone.
Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for $40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for in plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans or offer ends 1/7/16/70 through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.